he said this. He said, the presence that you experience when you assemble together as one is the same presence that you can experience when you're together with me as one, says the Lord. So live in my presence. In your daily prayer life, take the time to worship me with your whole hearts, fully surrendered, with no agenda, with no plans, with your eyes focused on me and me alone. And you will find that the peace that your heart longs for, the peace that you miss as you run about, will be found in my presence, says the Lord. For I am the Lord your God, your peace. I am the Prince of Peace, and I've come to touch your hearts. But there is a place in me where you can walk. There is a place where you can stay. There's a realm in me where you can live in my presence, says the Lord. Ropa kiesie timombra kasi kiele kiamosotoma prepa kasi lekinondra bakasi. He said, for I am the God who sees. I know the perplexities and the anxieties of life that try to crush and surround. I am not unaware. I am not a God that is far away, but I am near, says the Lord. For I know your sufferings, and I know the things that you go through for my name, says the Lord. So know that you're not alone. Know that when you cannot sense me, know that when it feels that I am far from you, that I am actually near. And that closeness that you long for, the closeness that seems to be lost at times, can be found as you worship me, says the Lord. So get lost in worship. Get lost in my presence, so that you can go forth with my love and touch those who are truly lost, says the Lord. For there's more yet to be had. And those who press in diligently, those who refuse not to see my face, will sense my presence stronger as they enter into the deeper realms of God. For I am never ending, and there is always more of me to be had. But you must press in as you seek my face with your whole hearts and refuse. Ropa che si chia motombra che si il chia romosiki le clombro che si lo receive per chi la creambo che sotto ma chi lo crema che si che lo tombra ma che refuse not to be heard. For those that come to me through the blood, those that put their faith in the blood of my son are always heard, says the Lord. Ropa kia se te kene ki la tombra kia se kene ki lo tombra ka si lo blombra ka siti ki lo toma pra bra ka siti ki lo toma. He said this is good. He said, it's not through your much speaking that you've heard, but it's through the faith that you release from a pure heart, an undivided heart, that you are heard, says the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit of Grace, it is through the name above every name that you are heard. Rombra che siete che le chiamo tomba perché siete che lo tomo perché si rombra che è. So recognize that those who are truly born of me cannot be denied. If you pursue me relentlessly by faith, if you pursue me with your whole hearts and refuse to get your eyes off of me, you will see that as you endure patiently, as you endure patiently in my presence by lifting up your hands and worshiping me, that it will come to pass. For it is impossible for those who seek me in times of trouble, who seek me with their whole hearts by faith after they pray, to not have their prayers come to pass, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We glorify you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We've been talking about the millennium to come. In particular, we're just scratching the surface, if you'll allow me. We've been talking about the cleanup after Armageddon, and we've been talking about Armageddon, really. We're barely touching the millennium. But with the, when you use the words millennium, it's 1,000 years. It talks in Revelation, at the end of Revelation there, chapter 20, it says that the devil was locked away for 1,000 years. It says that the first resurrection, blessed or holy are those who partake of the first resurrection. He said they raised from the dead and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But when he mentions that 1,000-year reign, you also need to understand that that's the beginning of never-ending thousands of years. It's the beginning of eternity. And the reason we call it the millennium is because for that first 1,000 years, that's before Satan gets let loose from the bottomless pit, which he's going to be chained and thrown in by one angel. It's before the renovation of the new heavens and the new earth as the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven to this earth. They collide and make one holy place for us to abide in forever on this planet, you see. A lot of people think the world's going to end. Well, you know, there's very little wisdom to that. I mean, the world system as we know it, the way this, you know, Paul said this world in its present form is passing away, in its present form. You see the Ecclesiastes 1:4. Says that the earth abides forever. Excuse me. You know, and Peter talked about it getting all burned up. But if you break down the words in the Greek, he's actually talking about it getting a new facelift is what's going to happen. And that's not until the end of the 1,000 years. Now the world, doesn't matter if people have not accepted Jesus, it doesn't matter what you tell them, they still believe the world's going to end because it is for them, you see. Because in their hearts they've rejected God and all they can see is the wrath of God coming to the earth. They don't understand what, they just know in their hearts that wrath is coming and the world's going to end. They may completely reject God, but in their hearts they know that wrath is coming. And there's nothing else, doesn't matter what you convince them of, because that's all that they can perceive in the spirit realm because they refuse to accept Jesus. The Bible says they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And it says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12. So we believe the truth. We believe in Jesus, right? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. He said in John 10:9, he said, I am the door by me. If any man, that means any homosexual, that means any drunkard, that means any prostitute, any drug addict, any alcoholic, any even small sinners, just liars and stuff like that. Lying's really not small. Doesn't matter what their sin is. He says, if any man enter in through me, he will be saved. Any man. But it means you have to turn from that sin. You see, you got to understand, you got to turn from it. So the world's crying out for love and acceptance, and you may not be able to perceive this yet, but I'll tell you what's going to happen. We may not find all about it until after the rapture happens. But what Satan is doing is he's forcing the church into a position to be able to be called a hostile group. That's what we're going to be labeled as, the true church. Now, some of the churches will conform to the one world system, the new world order, which is a one world religion where love and acceptance tolerates all sin. But the true churches that receive God's word and accept holiness are being pushed into a corner to be labelized as a hostile group. That's what they will call us. Because we will not marry the homosexuals. They won't do it. Some churches will, but some won't. And as a result, they're going to say that we're not, it's not love, they'll call it. They'll say it's not tolerance and it's not love and it's not acceptance, you see. But there is no acceptance in sin. There's no. It's not until we make a decision just in our hearts to purpose to turn from sin that we can be accepted in Christ. That's all he expects. I've got some of the most unusual people baptized in the Holy Spirit praying in tongues. I think, God, you baptized that person in the Holy Spirit, and I know that they're going to go out and they're going to do it again. Why do you do that? You see, but he does it. Because he's a merciful God and he expects everyone, when he sees their heart and they purpose to want to turn from the sin, he expects that they really will actually do it, even though many don't. You see? So he'll baptize them in the Holy Spirit. They start speaking in tongues right there on the sidewalk. Even though they got alcohol in their breath and, you know, they smell like dope and so on and so forth, they're still baptized. So that's what Satan's pushing towards, and the Pope is pushing it, and he's got a humongous pulpit, would you agree? Mm-hmm. A humongous, absolutely one of the biggest pulpits in the world the Pope has. And he even wrote a book now on it. It's called The Year of Mercy or something like that. Don't read it. It's a lie. And he's a false prophet. They love to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplace as they put him up on his own pedestal and he runs around. I mean, it's just as satanic. It's just the opposite of what Jesus said as anything could ever be. Jesus said, he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus himself, it says he didn't quarrel or cry out in the streets. In other words, he didn't run around saying, I'm the Messiah. And you got this guy running around up in some forklift with a bulletproof glass around him. You see. But some of his folly's been exposed. He just got very angry at someone who touched him the other day. And it's on video and it's being exposed, which is something that I prayed for. I said, God, I pray that his wickedness will be exposed. You see. And it will be. You know, when he let his doves of peace out the window on the day of his inauguration or whatever they call it, those doves were killed by crows. It's on video. You can see it. And lightning struck the building. See, God's making it known that his wrath is against such people who are false prophets and deceiving the people. And it's no marvel that they're deceived, because what he uses is love, which is good, right? Mercy. Acceptance is good, right? We accept anybody in Christ. You see, the doors are open to anybody who wants to come. We will not refuse them. But they, you know, in order to become part of the church, they have to turn from their sin. And that's where the dividing line is between truth and falsehood. You see, that's where they're going to divide us. I see in his commercial, his 2-minute-long commercial that the Pope put out there, and it had different forms of religion, and two or three different people from different religions that have nothing to do with Christ. And they put them together. And they all said at the end of the commercial, they all said, I believe in love. And then they show the next guy, I believe in love. I believe in love. You see, and then they put all their symbols, their false religion symbols together with the cross at the end, if anybody's seen it on YouTube. You see, it's very, very deceptive. It draws the ignorant heart in because it touches the heartstrings. And we want people to come together. We truly do. But the Bible says that if anyone doesn't accept Jesus as the Son of God, if we even welcome him, we partake of his wicked work. In 2 John 2:11, you see, we can't even have anything to do with those people. They can accept Jesus. You have to understand the deception in it is they all believe in Jesus. You understand that. But they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the dividing line. You see, they will all say, I believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus. They'll all say, yeah, I believe it. But you ask them more questions. Do you believe he was a prophet? They'll say, yeah, I believe he's a prophet, like Moses was a prophet. Or they'll say, I believe he was a really good prophet, and I believe in his teachings, they'll say. But when you ask them if they believe that Jesus was the actual Son of God, born of a Virgin Mary, they reject that fact. That's a fact. Amen. Absolute fact. He was born of a virgin. It was a supernatural. It says, and Mary said, how can this be? He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Son of God. So we're caught up in this exhortation. God just wants to remind you what is to come, because we need to have our guard up against it. You see, because it is coming. And it's coming very fast. I just use the names at the risk of my own whatever. But, you know, Oprah Winfrey has her show called Believe. It's about uniting all the religions and so on and so forth. We got TV shows on. One of the most popular ones now with an extremely good-looking man is called Lucifer. The little girl says, like the devil. He says, exactly. You see, it's the demonic. Dark Angel is another popular show. Dark Angel. I mean, the names of these shows, it's absolutely demonic. And they've gone to the point where they took down the Ten Commandments in Oklahoma, which is an absolute headquarters for God. Absolute headquarters. There's more true believers down in Oklahoma than I think than any other geological location on the earth. They forced them to take down the Ten Commandments. And in Detroit and in other places now, they put up their, I think it was something like $8,000 statue of Satan. Okay? Sculpted out. Some artists made it. And it's got little children bowing down to Satan. They plan on putting more of them up. There's also in Philadelphia, you can look this up and confirm it, there's something going on now where they're debating whether or not they can have the Satanists pray before some kind of Congress-type meeting. You see, instead of a Christian prayer. They don't want the Christian prayer, but they don't see that it's wrong to have Satanists to pray before the meeting. So if you can see the realms we're entering into, Jesus said it will get very dark, so you need to recognize the signs of the times. And there's hundreds of other things going on around Jerusalem now. They're putting a fence all the way around Jerusalem. You see, they think they're fencing to keep people out, but it's really all part of the plan for them to be fenced in for the Antichrist to slaughter them. Because he's going to come as their Messiah is what's going to happen. I never heard anybody teach this, but God made it very clear to me through Scripture. But what's going to happen is the Antichrist is going to come as a man of peace. He's going to make a 7-year covenant with them, and they're going to believe him to be the Messiah is what's going to happen. And if anybody is contentious about that, I'll show you in Scripture where it actually tells you, it makes it very clear that's exactly what's going to happen. Jesus said, he said, I come in my Father's name and you do not accept me. Someone else will come in his own name and you will accept him. That's talking about the Antichrist. See, they're not going to know he's the Antichrist till 3.5 years into the tribulation period. You see, 3.5 years in, and then he breaks that peace agreement with them and he sets himself up in God's temple, says that I'm God, you're going to worship me. At that time, you know, for the first 3.5 years, it's going to be what we call the Whore of Babylon or mystical Babylon from Revelation chapter 17. It's a religious form, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing it come together right now. It's this one world religion where everybody's kind of united together. But it says that the beast hates this type of one world religion, and I'll tell you why. Because he doesn't like many objects of worship. He wants to be the sole object of worship. There will be no other gods but him. And anybody who refuses to take his mark or worship his image, or worship him, and take that mark on their forehead or their hand, he's going to behead them. That's how it says they're going to die by beheading. You see. And you can look this up, you may believe it or not, but they've already got concentration camps all over the United States and all over the world. They've got them set up. And not only that, they get 30,000 guillotines. There's probably many more than that now, modern-day guillotines set up, and they're stored in a specific location just ready for these events to take place. So it's just a matter of time. And you know, they did this stuff a few years ago. And the reason Satan's just, he did it. And there was a big stir about all these FEMA camps and stuff. But he's waiting for the dust to settle so everybody forgets about it. And then he's going to strike right at the right moment. That's what he's doing. So we want to be prepared. We want to make sure that our hearts are right. Amen. I know that my heart is right. And I you know, he says for us preachers, he said we need to watch our life and our doctrine closely too. He said, in so doing, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. So we got to make sure we save ourselves by staying in Christ. And he said, don't you realize you're in Christ unless, of course, you fail the test, which means we need to test ourselves to see whether we're in the faith, he said. So you want to make sure that we're not living in any deliberate sin. You see, he said, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, that's being born again, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. He said, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who's trampled the Son of God underfoot, who's treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who's insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's all in Hebrews 10:26-34. So, you know, we know, he says that we don't have to wonder what kind of sins he's talking about. There are sins that are not unto death. That's sins of ignorance. But deliberate sins, he says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And then he lists them: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He said, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this, who live like what? Live in the flesh. He said, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, he tells you how to live. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, or faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we're breaking the moral law of God and the other. Galatians 5:19-21, and we're obeying the law by, like Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. We need to love ourselves too by not polluting our own bodies. He said if we sin sexually, he said that you're sinning against your own body. He said flee from sexual immorality. And that's one of the most prevalent sins today that Satan's taking people to hell with is sexual perversion and sex outside of marriage and stuff like that. He said marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. He said keep your lives free from the love of money. And be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me? Amen. So we want to make sure we know these things and recognize these facts and obey God. Now we're talking about the millennium. We should pray before we get into this, because we always need more of God's help. Amen. Father, we yield to you. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, to have your way in our hearts and to speak to us today by your word and to comfort us and show us what is to come. And Father, we just empty ourselves before your throne and humble ourselves into your mighty hand. Lord, we ask you to move in this place, Holy Spirit, and to reveal things and to have your way in us. We worship you, Lord. We bind every hindrance. We command every evil spirit to leave this place. We thank you. This is a place of safety, and we thank you that your love is in this place. Lord, we praise you and exalt you for touching every heart today. In Jesus' name, everybody said.
Amen.
Now I'm going to turn the lights on you. Why don't everybody, if you can stand up for a minute. Can you stand up? This is an unusual thing that for some reason people like to sit during worship, so it's good to get up. Otherwise, you feel like I'm preaching longer than I really am because you've been sitting so long, you see. Why don't you just move around a little bit? Maybe, why don't you shake somebody's hand and say hello? Amen? Just say hi to somebody. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, we're going to be going through, I'm not 100% sure exactly how we're going to accomplish this task, but I think what we may do is we may attack the scriptures one book of the prophets at a time. So we're not jumping from book to book, because there is literally hundreds and hundreds of scriptures on the millennium that many people don't even realize are right in front of their eyes. Amen? You can have a seat if you want. Go ahead. Hallelujah, Jesus. So if you open up your Bible for now, let's... Why don't you open up to Micah in the Old Testament, chapter 3. You know, I think we'll start in chapter 4. He says this in Micah 4, verse 1, but in the last days, this is talking about the restoration during the millennium, in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Shall flow into it. So that's talking about Christ's kingdom. That's what's going to be, you know, the supernatural kingdom. We're already walking in it right now, although some people may not see it. We're reigning as kings and priests of the Most High God. And what's going to happen is people are going to be able to visually and physically see the King Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, reigning as King on this earth with their physical eyes. They're going to see this kingdom. And all the peoples are going to come, and there's certain times, as we'll get into in Scripture, where the people have to come. And for instance, the Feast of Tabernacles, everybody's got to come and present themselves before the Lord. And they're going to come and worship before Him. And that's even including people who are not born again. And I know this is hard for some of your minds to grasp, because what the devil's presented to you, what other people have taught you, and what your minds can imagine. Does anybody ever imagine a lot of things about God you found out aren't true? Am I the only one that imagine many things? That's why the only safe place is to stick with Scripture. Because your imagination can come up and conjure all sorts of things that are, they sound good and it feels right, but the problem is the Bible says the human heart is deceptive above all things, Jeremiah 17:5. We're easily deceived as a people, and the only way to know the truth is to stick with God's Word and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you see that the people, let's keep going here in verse 2, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Notice it says many nations, many nations. See, there's going to be many nations, many people from different nations that are going to survive the tribulation period. Now, I understand that everybody claims that President Obama is the Antichrist and he's going to kill everybody and everybody's going to die. Forget about it. President Obama, I can guarantee you, is not the Antichrist, because the Antichrist does not come from the United States. The Antichrist comes from Assyria. It says in your Bible in multiple places, it says he comes from Assyria in the book of Daniel, and it literally calls him the Assyrian. So I don't care who's elected in November, he's not the Antichrist. He may have the spirit of the Antichrist, like so many do. He may reject Christ. He may be a Antichrist, but he's not the Antichrist, you see. He said, as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. Anybody who rejects Christ, whether they're high position or low, is an Antichrist, you see. They're against Christ. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. Hallelujah. We're going to learn all about the word of God. They're going to learn with us. And who's going to be instructing them? True believers. Amen. Amen. We're going to be teaching them. And Jesus himself will also be teaching them. With the words coming right off his own lips. Now it says here, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For the law, everyone say law. Now when he talked about here, the main thing that he's focusing on is the moral law. You see? The moral law, which is all summed up in the New Testament. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. You see? Love. Romans 13:10, it says, love works no ill or wrong to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. James told us in the New Testament, James 2:12, he said, to speak and act as those who will be judged by the law, the perfect law that gives freedom. He said, because anyone who has not been merciful, he said, mercy triumphs over judgment, is what he said there. See, God's, what he's referring to is not the ordinance of the law. When I say ordinances, I'm talking about all the grain offerings and wave offerings and thank offerings and animal sacrifices and blood sacrifices. You see, he's talking about the moral law of God, which is to love our neighbor as ourselves. It says, so that we can walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, God's word is law. Most people don't understand this. They think that we're trying to put you under law. But when Paul was teaching the church in Galatia, and he was concerned about them going under law, what they were doing is going under the ordinances of law. There's nothing wrong with obeying the commandments of God, and they're all summed up again in love your neighbor as yourself. Let me just tell you this. In the Old Covenant, there were 10 commandments, right? In the New Testament, there's 1,050 commandments. And the only one of the 10 commandments that didn't carry over into the New Covenant is the Sabbath. You see, that was fulfilled in Christ. The Sabbath was a type of rest that we enter into when we get born again. It's a perpetual Sabbath that lasts through all eternity, and it's on the inside of us. You see? He said in Colossians 2:16, therefore let no one judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And we're in him, so we fulfilled all that. And now we just have to obey the moral part of the law and obey God. Amen. So, let's continue verse 3. I'm going to talk about universal peace now in the millennium. And he shall judge among many people. Who shall? Jesus, God. Amen. Shall judge among many people and rebuke. I wouldn't say rebuke. Amen. Strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords. That's weapons of war, correct? Swords. Into plowshares. That's agricultural equipment. And their spears. That's weapons of war. Into pruning hooks. You see, the pruning hooks, you can use that to gather bales of hay and for other things. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So we know that during the millennium, there's not going to be any more war. You understand? They're not going to have to train for war. They're not going to, all these different nations that are going to be in the earth, they're not going to be training for war like they are right now. You see, just look over there in Korea and look at how their soldiers march in line and so on and so forth in the United States here. Now, he says this, there's going to be, in verse 4, if you're taking notes, you can write down, he's talking about universal prosperity. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. Amen. I'd just love to sit under my own vine and my own fig tree and have a break. Amen. If anybody's a pastor, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He works something like 95 hours a week. So we're going to be able to sit under our own vine and under his own fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken of it. Nobody's going to make anybody afraid anymore. You won't have to have any fear of war. You won't have to have any fear of lack. You won't have to have any fear of anyone coming and attacking you. The things I'm mentioning here, you're going to see in the scriptures as we go on. It's all in scripture. I don't make this stuff up. I only tell you what the Word of God says. You're not going to have to worry about being attacked by anybody when you go to your car and so on and so forth. When you're getting in and out of your house, there's not going to be any of that type of fear anymore. You won't have to worry about wild animals attacking you, because it says that the wild animals are going to be very peaceful. We'll see that in Scripture also. Now, in verse 5, he's talking about a universal religion, but it's going to be God's true, the one and true religion, the law of God. Amen. He says this, for all people will walk, everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Amen. So again, it's talking about the millennial reign of Christ, which is 1,000 years, but it's a perpetual millennium. It just keeps on going forever and ever. It's just the first 1,000 years are just slightly different. It's the restoration of the earth after Armageddon, which, as a whole, a lot of things have been burned up. A lot of water has been turned into blood. We went over it the other day when we taught on this online, that for 7 months they're going to be cleaning up the dead bodies. We talked about places called the mounds, right? They call them the mounds of the dead. There's going to be so many dead bodies that people are going to be employed. It talked about them being employed for 7 months cleaning up the bodies. There's going to be a lot. There's going to be, you know, you got to understand, I don't know how many billion of people are on the earth now. I mean, there's babies being born this fast. There's a calculator, a clock online. You can look at it. They're being born that fast. So there's billions and billions of people on this earth, you know, and a lot of people will get raptured, you know, maybe billions, possibly. There's a lot of true believers on other parts of the world. I mean, there's revival going on in Africa and Europe and other parts. I mean, there's true believers. They're sold out to God, you see. Because they don't have anything in some of these third world countries. They don't add Jesus to their sin like people try to do here. So we see that the word of the Lord is going to go forth and the people are going to walk in the ways of the Lord. Verse 6. Now, this is going to make reference to Israel being restored to an eternal nation under Christ. That's what we're going to talk about here. You can read about that in 2 Samuel 7 also. In that day, says the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out. He's talking about Israel. And her that I have afflicted. That's a result of their sin. They reap what they sowed. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You see? Galatians 6 and 7. He says, and I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. He's talking about the restoration under the Messiah of the Jews. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth forever and ever. Amen. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. So everything's going to be restored, and Jerusalem's going to be the headquarters where the word of the Lord comes forth. See, we're all going to be hanging around in the Middle East now. If anybody's ever wanted to go to the Middle East, we're going to get a good opportunity to do it forever and ever in the millennium and then for the generations to come, because that's going to be our new home. Praise God. So now, in verse 9, 10, he talks about Babylon captivity first. We're not going to get into that. We want to stick with the millennium. Now, I want to see in verse 11 This is how this kingdom's going to get set up. Now, also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron. That's often when he talks about a horn, it's referring to strength. You might want to take note of that. And I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto thee, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. So all these, what he's making reference to right here, he's talking about that Israel is going to be a very powerful nation, and that all other nations, if they have not yet been born again, are going to be subject to us and to Israel. Now, you need to also understand that even though we're not born Jews, now that we're born again, he talks us being citizens of God's holy people, and we're part of that nation now spiritually. So it doesn't matter what nation or creed or color or language we speak, we're all part. We're, you know, he literally calls us a Jew in one scripture. He says a true Jew is the one who's circumcised at heart, you see. Now, do we call ourselves Jew? No, we call ourselves Christians, but we're of God's people, we're of God's family, and Jesus is a Jew. You understand that? So if he's Jewish, then we're part of him. Some people might get mad about that and twist it and go run around and call themselves a Jew. That's not what I told us to do, amen? I'm just telling you what the scriptures say. So we're part of God's family, and if he's Jewish, then we're Jewish at heart. But we're Christians. Now, I just want to, there's so many chapters in Micah. We just went through a few scriptures in Micah here. Let's just continue a little bit here. Chapter 5. Now this is going to talk about the first advent of the Messiah and his redemptive work. And then make reference to the eternal restoration that he's going to do here. He says, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against thee. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. That is the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. That's talking about Jesus coming as the Son of God. He is God. He's always existed as God, but he's going to humble himself and become a man and die for us on the cross. Read about that in Philippians chapter 2. Now, let's jump on down to verse 7. Again, this is talking about Israel being restored at the return of Christ. That's his second coming. That's at Armageddon. I just want to clarify that when we say the second coming of Christ, we're thinking the rapture, but the real second coming of Christ, he does not come to this earth until Armageddon. That's at the end of the tribulation period. He comes in the clouds in the air, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Comes in the clouds of the air for the rapture. He does not come to the earth. That also proves that there is a difference between the two events. Now, let's take a look here. Verse 7 of chapter 5, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarry not for man, for waiteth for the sons of men, nor waiteth for the sons of men. Let's talk about them being a refreshing. They're going to be a people with life. Verse 8, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, that's heathen nations. Might want to take note of that, the Gentiles, the heathen nations, he didn't say the Christians. And we're talking about the millennium here. So if there's going to be Gentiles, that must mean there's going to be people that have not yet been converted, which Israel will be the ones that are evangelizing. They're going to finally fulfill the commission that God gave them, which is to evangelize the nations. And they're going to go forth and get these heathen nations and say, look, you need to accept Jesus as your Messiah. Many will, but some won't. But as long as they stay, there's no tempter. You have to understand, Satan's locked away. There will be no tempter. You're not going to have to run around worrying about sin. You'd have to work it up and conjure that up in your wicked heart for some reason. So they're not going to be tempted the way we're tempted constantly now. So As long as they stay within the confines of certain laws and don't commit a sin unto death, there'll be certain things that if they do wrong, God's going to say, look, you need to stop that right now. And they say, we'll stop it right now. It was a mistake. I'm sorry. You see, he'll let them pass on through. But if they do something like commit murder or adultery, you know, the basic things under the Ten Commandments, you could just think of it that way. If they do that kind of stuff, there's going to be capital punishment instantly, you see. So that's them. But we're going to have, you got to understand, us believers, we're going to have glorified bodies. We're not even going to want sin. You see, we're already going to be just absolutely just like Jesus in every way, in his humanity, in his glorified humanity. So we're not going to even want sin, and we're not going to have a tempter on top of it. So you're not going to have to wonder if you're going to be running around during the millennium just thinking about you're going to have to die every 3 seconds. He's not going to be that way. We're going to live in the fear of the Lord. You're going to have a body that works with you to obey God instead of against you like you have now. You see, your flesh has been tainted by sin. Your flesh doesn't want to do what God wants you to do. You see, but your spirit wants to do it. But you're going to get a glorified body that's got something working inside, on the outside, just like you have on the inside now. You're going to have, just like you have the new nature, you have the nature of God that has life working in it. And you have a body that he says that we're being transformed into his likeness from glory to glory in 2 Corinthians 3:16-17. You know, he says that outwardly we're wasting away, not going to be anymore. He says, inwardly, we're being renewed day by day, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we're going to be outwardly, we're going to be renewed day by day also. You see, it's going to be an amazing thing. We're not going to have to worry about going back into the world. I don't see why anybody would want to do that. Now, where did I leave off here? He says here, again, verse 8, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep. That's representing they're powerful. Powerful as a nation. Who, if he goes through, shall tread down and tear in pieces, and none can deliver. So nobody's going to be able to overcome them. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and will destroy thy chariots. And I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw them down thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven image also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hand. So he's saying Israel's not going to get caught up in sin, number one. Number two, they're not going to worship other gods. Very simple. Okay. And he says this, and I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so that I will destroy thy cities, and I'll execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. You see, that's anybody who comes up against Israel or anybody who tries to rise up against God's law. Now I'm going to stop reading the scripture. I've given you as much scripture as I'm going to give you today, but I do want to tell you a little bit about the living conditions that are going to be in the millennium. Okay, so if you're taking notes, you want to pay attention. There's a lot. There's so much information it would take us years and years to teach on this. So if you want to get this in, you're going to have to go online and listen to it a few times. Because if we slow down, I'll never get this over to you. You're not going to see it in God's Word, which is important to me. I want you to see that what I'm teaching you is 100% scriptural. This is not some thing that I conjured up in my imagination like so many teach from their imaginations today. They just tell you whatever feels good to them. I don't do that. I got to stand before God and be judged by Him. Amen. I'm not messing around here. Now, he says, I'm going to just read you some of these notes from Phineas Dake on the millennium, and I'll give you some of the scripture references. If you got to have them, come up after service and take a picture, because there's hundreds of them. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, 7 verse 7 and just keep on going on. It's going to take 20 minutes just to do that. There's so many scriptures. Now, number one, Satan will be bound, so there'll be no tempter. We know that according to Revelation chapter 21 through 10. There's going to be universal peace. Isaiah 2, 4 and chapter 9, 6 and 7. Micah 4, 3 through 4, which you just talked about. So that if there's universal peace, this means there'll be no taxation to keep up large armies and navies, which we've seen there will be no more weapons of war. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We quoted that earlier. Class prejudices and other national ills will be forgotten because of the great turning to God by all nations after hearing the gospel. Spiritual revivals will break out in every land, and all peoples will be one in serving the great King. So it's all going to be, everybody's going to surrender to Jesus. Now, the universal conversation will not be about wars, treaties, amendments, depressions, various forms of religion or government, or anything that makes up the common talk of today. We're not going to be talking about all the things that people run around talking about today. But all people will be fully satisfied in the peace and prosperity, and will have no excuse to talk about anything but the goodness of God. It's going to be, you won't even have to want to talk about the goodness of God. It's going to be so good during the millennium that you're not going to be able to stop talking about how good God is. Amen. You're going to be like, you got to be kidding me. All I had to do is serve Him for a few years and He gave us this. Amen. This is better than any of the Hollywood experience their whole lives. This is amazing. God is so good. It's just going to pour out of your spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, and we're going to talk about the wonderfulness of His reign. That's Malachi 1:11, and you can also talk about Malachi 3:16. Now, number three, there's going to be universal prosperity. Isaiah 65:21-24, Ezekiel 34:26, and we talked about it in Micah 4:1-5, Zechariah 8:11-12, and 9:16-17. There's many other scriptures. We'll go through some of these at another time. There'll be no charity fundraiser every year, no unemployment, no poverty. The billions now spent on tobacco, alcoholic drinks, sickness, hospitals, cosmetics, crime, worldly amusements, and many other things will supply everybody with plenty. You see, there's not going to be any more of that mess. So all the money and things that are wasted, you mean there's going to be money in the millennium? Well, sure, He talks about that. His streets are made of gold. He's got all this provision and stuff. We're going to be, you know, the new heavens and a new earth is a planet. Now think here, it's a real planet, right? If it's a planet and it's a kingdom, that means that there's a king. That means there's subjects to the kingdom. That means there's going to be rules and regulations. That means there's also going to be a form of government. Like there's a form of government today that's become corrupt as a whole. So there's a lot of things that are going to be very similar. Your minds may not want to think about this, but that's the facts. It's going to be a government and all sorts of things that are very similar today, but without the corruption, you see. It's going to be just absolutely, overwhelmingly amazing. Now, so there's going to be plenty of finances. All investments will be safe. You won't have to worry about people tapping into your bank accounts and so on and so forth. There will be no financial crashes to retard business throughout all eternity. The God of all will prosper anyone and any legitimate business you see, and all will be capable of succeeding in life with all its varied aspects. You won't have the flesh talking you out of it, saying you can't do it. It's just going to be Jesus before you saying you can and you will and it will happen. Amen. You won't have all this doubt running through your minds. It's going to be faith. You're not going to have the flesh working against you. The limitations are going to be taken off. And I mean, there's been too many people that have gone to heaven and the instant they get there, they say, man, what was I worried about down there? You know, and then they go, well, what is this? My family's down there and there's all sorts of problems with my family, but I don't seem to care, Lord. Why is that? He said, because there's no care here. It's just peace here. He said, well, do I have to go back? He said, I don't want to go back. Please don't make me go back. He says, they're praying for you down there. You have an assignment to finish. Now go back. He said, I don't want to go back, Lord. Right. It's been too many people who say, I don't want to go back. Even though they got family and they just may have had their first child and they got a wife that they love, they don't even want to go back because they get to see Jesus and love in His eyes and everything's so good. Amen. You see, it's going to be like that forever. We're going to experience all the goodness of God forever. Now, there's going to be a financial system. Now, I can give you scriptures for this. We just read some of it at home. Malachi 3:7-12. Tithing was a system before the law. Genesis 14:20 and Genesis 28:22. Tithing was a financial system under the law. Leviticus 27:30-33. Numbers 18:21. Nehemiah 10:37. 13 10 through 12 and Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, as well as since the law. So since Christ, tithing is also going on. Matthew 23, 23 is a very clear one. Romans 2, 22, 1 Corinthians 9, 7 through 18, and 16, 1 through 3, and Hebrews chapter 7, most of the chapter. So no doubt the same system will be used by the government of Christ for the coming ages. Tithing. You see, the tithe belongs to God, he says in Malachi chapter 3. There will be plenty of money. Everyone say plenty of money.
Plenty of money.
You see, that's what we want to have. Plenty of money. We don't want to be broke, and we want to be supplied for. And God will be our source. It's all coming from him. There will be plenty of money from the tithing. See, God's a just God. He loves all of his children. He's going to distribute it as necessary. Whatever we want to set our hand to, we're going to have the finances to keep the social systems and the businesses and so on and so forth running through all eternity. Now, some people's minds may not want to accept this, but you're going to find out when you get there that this is absolute facts. Things are going to be a lot less different from the system that's established now, but there's going to be no crime. People think that we're going to be floating around as ghosts and on clouds with harps, and we're going to turn into fat little babies. You know, all sorts of crazy. I mean, you know, you've seen the pictures and you've seen the little abominations that they make. I mean, women angels and so on and so forth. None of it is scriptural. You're going to be glorified women. Everyone say glorified women.
Glorified.
With glorified bodies. Amen. No more flaws. You won't have to have makeup anymore if that's what you put on. And so on and so forth. You're going to have the body you always wanted. You're going to be healthy. And everything is going to be just perfect. Amen. Just perfect. No more. You're not going to wake up tired. You're going to be full of vibrant and energy just like a little child. You can't even keep up with them. They're so full of life. That's how you're going to be forever. It's just going to be absolutely great. All he asks is that we obey his word. Amen. Now we see that tithing is what's going to be the main form of a financial system. There'll be plenty of money from such a system to balance and budget and have plenty to spare. There'll be no more corrupt politics or graft as Christ. There'll be no more corrupt politics or graft as Christ, and the glorified saints will reign in righteousness and true holiness. That's Isaiah 32, 1 through 5. They will need no salaries, as they will own the universe, that's us, and all things will be ours. We're going to own the whole universe. We don't need to have salaries. All the money that anyone will get paid, will get for personal use, will be what is given to the earthly missionaries and the servants of the government. So they're going to need financial system to keep that new government and evangelizing the world going. There will be no need of special taxes on automobiles, gasoline. Will there be cars? There's going to be natural people that live through. How are they going to get around? You see, we may possibly be able to move at the speed of thought like Jesus can in his glorified body, but the natural people are not going to have that supernatural ability. They're going to have to get around, and they surely ain't going to walk from all the other nations to Jerusalem. You see, they're going to have to travel some way. Airplanes and stuff, a lot of that stuff is still going to be going on, and there'll most likely be businesses that are still producing automobiles, but they won't have the curse on them, you see? And things are going to be a lot better than they are now. Now, there'll be no need for special taxes on automobiles, gasoline, food products, or any other thing. This financial system, that's a tithe, if practiced by governments today, would solve all financial problems. Especially so if the governments would take up the program of evangelizing the world, for God would bless such an undertaking to such a great extent that they would prosper beyond any human conception. Christ's government will be the first to set the example along this line, as we shall see in the ages to come. So the real reason that a lot of countries struggle financially, the reason America's borrowing all this money is because they're not doing the evangelism. The government should be partaking of that. They want to separate religion and state and so on and so forth, when really God instituted the government and he expects them all to obey him. Hallelujah, Jesus. So it's going to be real good. Do you agree? Does it sound better than it is now?
Amen.
And it only gets better, so let's just obey God and make sure that we can get up raptured. Hallelujah, Jesus. Doesn't it sound like God's prepared good things for us? Just think the Garden of Eden, that's what He's restoring the earth back to the original habitable state. You see, the curse has been coming to the earth. You don't even realize that before the curse entered this earth, Adam could sprint across an entire continent without getting tired. If your mind can grasp that. There was no curse. There was no lack of energy. It was just life. He was vibrant with life. We're going to have that type of body. Amen. We'll be able to walk through a wall and eat a piece of fish like Jesus did. You're going to have skin, flesh and bone like Jesus did, but you'll walk through a wall. Now, I know your natural mind can't comprehend that, but you can take it by faith. A lot of the things of God are hard to comprehend with our natural mind. You just got to accept it by faith. Amen. But it is. We know if Jesus did it, He says, we know that when He appears, we shall see Him as He is, for we shall be just like Him. You see, we're going to see Him as He is. We're going to be known even as we are known now. Amen. We're going to know Him. So I just encourage you to just stay excited about these things, because it's going to happen in the flash and in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. It says the dead in Christ will be raised, and we shall be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. He said the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Amen. No more death working in your body in a blink, as fast as you can blink. You don't even have to worry about that. If you're born again and you're living for God, you don't even have to do anything. Just keep living for Him. It's just going to happen, just like that. And you're going to be like, whoa. There's going to be a huge flash that I personally believe that everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to see the dead rise. Let me ask you something. When Jesus rose from the dead, were there not, according to Matthew, dead people that came out of their graves and appeared to many of the holy people in the holy city? And they all saw it. So God, when He took the people out of Egypt, didn't He put on a great display? When He takes us out of this earth, everybody's going to know about it. Now, they're going to say it was an alien invasion. They already programmed humanity to believe that. But there's no, the only aliens that there are in the universe are devils floating around. There are no Martians and so on and so forth. They're evil spirits. He calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. He calls him the Lord of flies. It translates the Lords of things that fly. All these UFOs, it's all conjured up things by demonic spirits to program humanity to be deceived when the rapture happens. That's what it really is. He's been programming humanity with all this alien stuff for so many years that when the rapture happens, they're already going to say it's aliens. They were aliens. And they're going to say all sorts of foolish things. So let's just stay excited about Jesus and about the new heavens and the new earth and all the blessings He has. Amen. Amen. Keep living for Him. Be here tomorrow. We're going to continue. There's a whole lot more to talk about, and it gets even better. Hallelujah, Jesus.